Hey love, and welcome to the Love Meach podcast. It's a billion podcasts to listen to, and the universe guided you right here to this one. It's 8 billion people in the world, yet you met me, and that is not by happen chance. This is a divine meeting, and may we guide each other well. I am in this world, but I'm not of it. On this podcast, you'll hear topics about both worlds, spiritual and earthly. My goal is to keep learning, evolving, and spreading love. Hey loves, and welcome to another episode of the Love Meach podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the different leadership styles. I'm so excited to dig deep into this one with you, as it is my major. So the first leadership style that we are going to go over is autocratic. So there's 32 of them, okay? So an autocratic leader is one who makes all of the decisions and expects its subordinates to follow without input. Do you know an autocratic leader? I also wanted to give some positive and negatives with that style. So a positive would be that they are quick decision makers and they have a clear direction. But negatives would be that they lack employee involvement as well as low morale. So I can think of some people that are, you know, do as I say, what I say goes. I don't want anyone's input. I don't think you're going to have people around much longer with that style. It reminds me of slavery, I hate to say. Like the master was in control. Everyone else did what he said, even though, you know, it was completely wrong. It just was what it was. The next one is democratic. So democratic leaders involve others in decision making and they do value input from the team. So it's kind of how relationships are. It's like both people are deciding how it's going to go. So that's pretty norm. Some positives would be they involve the team. They have a diverse perspective with high morale. And some negatives would be they are slower to make decisions and potential conflict. So when you think about it, when there's more people deciding on what to do, there's going to be back and forth until they come upon an agreement. So that was that one. Do you know anyone that's more of a democratic leader? Involves the inputs of others. Then we have laissez-faire. These leaders, they put autonomy to their subordinates and they allow them to make their decisions independently. I love that one. So some positives are they empower their employees and they foster their creativity. And some negatives would be they lack structure and there's potential for chaos. So I love this style because I think although we're talking about leaders, these are just characteristics that people have in general. That's why I love this class. Although they put it on leader, we're just talking about different attributes and traits that people have. These are just some of the top attributes that people have that happen to be leaders. So anybody can have them. And I already feel like everybody is a leader. I saw this amazing quote. Let me go ahead and I'm supposed to start the podcast out with that quote. And it goes, everyone is a teacher. I'm going to change teacher to leader. Everyone is my leader. Some I seek, some I subconsciously attract. Often I learn simply by observing others. Some may be completely unaware that I'm learning from them, yet I bow deeply in gratitude. Teacher, leader, whatever name you want to give it, our lives are under a microscope. Not only is God, your creator, universe watching you and cheering for you, but you also have your adversaries that want to see you fall, that are putting obstacles and stumbling blocks in your way. You also have your angels, I feel, that are putting different challenges in your way to help progress you. And we may even call those like, oh my gosh, that was the devil, when it was a challenge that I needed you to overcome to become stronger. I need you to be this strong so that you can open that door. Until you increase your muscle or, you know, learn whatever you're supposed to learn, there's no way you can get through that door. So sometimes I think, you know, there's people that want us to fail, but there's people that want to challenge us to excel. This is what I want to say. But I love this quote because it's so true. Like, everyone is watching you. Even if they don't tell you, like, I look up to you as a mother, as a friend, as a sister, as a brother, as a leader, as a God, per se. People won't flat out tell you that, but they're watching. Oh, they're learning. they're using something that you taught them, whether you per se taught them with the chalkboard and a teacher role, or they just watched your life by example. And that's why I say anybody can be your teacher or leader or whatever title you want to give it. It could be a bomb. Just because, you know, whatever happened in their life, they could give you some amazing information and you can become a billionaire, trillionaire off of it. I hate when people say, oh, don't take advice from people that aren't where you want to be. That's complete BS. Somebody that has filed bankruptcy can tell you some very important information. Listen, don't do XYZ or you're going to go down that road. I would love to get advice from somebody that went down a wrong path, because guess what? They can tell me the complete opposite so that I won't go down that path. That's what we need to be listening to get the best information, to be the best person that we can be. So you can listen to someone that's very successful and they tell you all of the good things to do. But what if you hit a role when there's a good thing and a bad thing? So you know the good thing will lead to success, but you have no idea what that bad thing is. I think it's balance is important. You need to know the good things as well as the bad things so that when you do make a choice, you can make the ultimate best choice. So I love that quote so much. Everyone is my teacher. Some I seek, some I subconsciously attract. Often I learn simply just by observing others. Some may be completely unaware that I'm learning from them, yet I bow deeply in gratitude. Because you're always learning. Even if you don't have a pen and paper per se, as far as learning, I feel like your eyes are recorders. Your mind is picking up things. Your energy, your chi, everything is always observing and learning, whether you know it or not. When you run, you're teaching your lungs how to conserve air to fuel you. You know, you're teaching your body how to conserve energy and maybe send more to your legs to fuel. You know what I mean? Like that whole thing is going on. Do you have a pen and a piece of paper saying lungs do this, heart do this, legs do this? No, because they're doing it automatically, right? So our whole body is a system and it's learning all the time, whether we know it or not. I think the one that we focus on the most is like moving our arms and our legs and sometimes blinking and just the aspect of thinking. But just imagine if we would put more emphasis on all the functions in our body, because a lot is on auto. But the reason I like, let me get back to it. The reason I like laissez-faire is because I am a creative. You can't put me in a box. I've always said I'm unboxable. I am unboxable. Boxes feel like slavery. And what my ancestors went through, it's a hell no for me. Like, don't, if it gives slave vibes, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I feel like God gave us free will and we should be able to exercise that. Now, the best way to live a life of free will is to have some boundaries and some principles and, you know, some morals and, you know, just good decision-making skills is going to have a better end result. However, sometimes you learn. Sometimes you learn from horrible mistakes and horrible decisions. And I saw another meme where it was a ball that went straight and it was going to a finish line, and a ball that was going up and down and up and down and up and down the hill. Guess what? The ball that went up and down won. Because those lows propelled it for those highs, and those highs gave it more speed for those lows. And you would think straight would win, right? But no, it was those highs and lows that won. So I love me a laissez-faire leader that kind of checks in on me, you know, kind of gives me little hints and different things like that. But let me do me. If you give me a canvas and you tell me what to draw, did I draw it, or did you tell me what to draw and I'm under the illusion that I drew it when you really told me what to draw? Like, no, that's BS. Let me draw whatever I want to draw. Let me do it. So that's my favorite type of leader, like free will. I am such a free, unboxable is the best way I can say it. So transformative. I'm sorry. The next one is a transformational leader. So they're very inspiring and motivating. They motivate the followers to achieve more than they expected. This reminds me of like pastors. Like, they're very motivational, encouraging. There's a lot of motivational, encouraging people on YouTube. I feel like I'm an encouraging person already, so I don't need much more of that in my life because I already do it. So some positives are they inspire and motivate, they drive innovation. Some negatives are they have high expectations and it has burnout risk. So you're like, come on, you could do it so much. Come on, you could do it so much. And when you don't succeed, you're sad because you had expectations or such high hopes and you didn't meet them. So yeah, I like transformative. I love inspiration. I love motivation. But I think I'm such a cheerleader on my own. If someone does it for me, it's like I can definitely. You didn't bring anything new to the table because I can already do that. So I don't think I would necessarily look for that leadership style because I can do that on my own. The next one is transactional. So a transactional leader is based on rewards and punishment to motivate performance. So I hated this in corporate America. You do good, you get this. You do bad, you do that. It's like you're not, that doesn't motivate me. Like they call it carrot or stick. Like, I don't know. Again, it takes me back to parenting. Like, so if you listen to what I say, you get a reward. If you don't listen to what I say, you get a spanking. It's like, they have to learn. You shouldn't have to reward or spank them. The whole process is learning. So I don't really like that per se. Some positives are you get rewards for performance and clear expectations. And some negatives are there's limited creativity and dependency on reward. So maybe I'm such a creative person. I didn't even know that. It's limited creativity. So the simple fact that it blocks my creativity, I'm not interested. And then again, what happens if you don't succeed? So you're so used to getting rewarded. The moment you're not rewarded, then what? Then what happens? I don't know. I don't like that one either. Okay. And then the next one is servant. So because I'm in a biblical school, Christian, we focus on servant leadership and, there's so many servant leaders because I know all of the religions, but in the Christian world, it would be Jesus. So a lot of our focus is on Jesus and how he served the disciples, served the people, and that led for more following, you know, and even though he directed them back to God, it's more of a servant. I really do love that. I think if you serve your people, they will do a lot for you in return. So servants, they focus on servicing and meeting the needs of others to achieve a goal. Some positives for servant are they foster a positive culture and they build trust. Some negatives may be that they may be taken advantage of and they're slow to decision making. So that is something that I just have to be careful of in life. I mean, people, you know, they can see you a mile away and they will probably try to take advantage. I'm just not built that way and I just feel sorry for them. I saw another quote that said, you may not always be caught for what you do, but you will always pay for what you do. And I think that's when karma comes into play. So you may not get caught as far as going to jail or different things like that on this earthly realm, but karma is spiritual and you're always going to pay. So you are lying and scheming to get ahead. So yeah, you're a millionaire, but you lied and schemed and gave people false dreams or whatever to get there. And you know, you had it set up so to where you didn't have jail time. But guess what? Karma is going to expect her payment. Like you won't. And this is a thing I don't think people realize. If we incarnate or are infinite beings, that means you have until eternity to pay back all your wrongs. Now, I don't know about you, but let's say you live to be 100 years old. You do a crime and the judge says you have 100 years. In 100 years you are done. If you live maybe 107, you get 7 years. The point is you served your 100 years and you're done. In the spiritual realm, there is no end. It's infinite. It's eternity. So however long it takes for you to pay back your karma, maybe that's what you're gonna do. And what if it's a million years? What if it's a million years? I don't know about y'all, but it's a hell no for me. So let me clean up my karma and move on because I don't need to be adding nobody else's karma to my, you know, eternity. Because we are spiritual beings, baby. This body goes in the ground because that's the end of the body's journey. But your spirit lives on. Your spirit never dies. Energy is never destroyed. It's only transferred. We see that throughout life. I don't know why we don't understand that. So a plant is growing. It grows into a tree. We cut the tree down. It still didn't die. We turn it into a house or whatever wood thing you want to turn it into. We can burn it. It turns into dust. Or, you know, we can make it into salt. The point is it never really goes away, do it? You can put a piece of it in the ground. It's going to grow again. Like, it's all around us that we don't die. I don't know why we think we do. But But yeah, I love the servant leadership because it's kind of like you're putting others before yourself. And like Jesus and Buddha and all of the other greats, that's, to me, that's like pure love. I saw it on YouTube. I found a new YouTube page. Man, I love YouTube. I will pay. Whenever they start charging, I'm definitely going to pay. Like, that's my school. I'm going to get a shirt that say YouTube University because, baby, you take what you learn from there and you go find books and you read and da-da-da. And that's how you expound your knowledge. So I hate people be like, oh, my God, because you saw it on YouTube. Not because I fucking saw it on YouTube. Because YouTube opened up new neuron paths in my brain for me to go study and dig deeper into topics that I never would have opened the door to. That's all. But, like, I saw a documentary on mega churches. And how they make so much money, they don't have to pay taxes and all this stuff. And he was like, Jesus was not like that. And he was not. Jesus was walking around barefoot. Jesus was spending the night at people's house. Jesus always gave. He never took. These churches take. Oh, I need another offering. Oh, I need another offer. Oh, our light bill $6,000. Oh, we need a new building. Oh. And that's fine. If you're going to be a taker, you need to give twice. I think the Christians should have an equation. For whatever I give, I have to give back 2 to 3 times. That's how it should work. So as much money as churches make being nonprofit, I'm going to bring this back to my real estate world. I don't understand why every single church has not made a tiny home community, apartment, housing communities for their people. Like, you're taking people's money every Sunday. And when he was calling out how much money they were making, it was trillions of dollars, you guys. Please go look up mega churches on YouTube and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a new channel, so he only has 2 series right now. But it got views. You want to know why? Because it was the truth. So you mean to tell me you collect money every Sunday and what you want to do for the community is put on a... Is sell Thanksgiving, give out free Thanksgiving dinners and toys for Christmas. What did you do with the rest of the money all year? Nobody told you to build a building with lights costing $6,000 a month. That's poor money management. Baby, we is online now. Tell your people to log in on their computer, laptops, and cell phones for these services. People don't really go to church like that anyway. We just trying to get the message and move on with our life. You could do a pod. Church could be on a podcast. You could be saving. What I'm trying to say is they could be saving money from those buildings just like businesses are doing. Who just shut down? Payless shut down. They're online now. A lot of businesses are closing their stores. A couple Walmart stores are closing too because online. Amazon, number one, they have distribution centers, not stores. Those centers house their shipment and they're able to go deliver their shipment to people. They don't have to pay rent, lights, and employees to staff those buildings. It's a brilliant. E-commerce is here. Like, churches, please hear me out. Go digital. We have the number one digital church. You could be international. You know, you can log on to your classes. It could be like online school, online church. Save that money from those buildings. Pay your employees and do something with the community. I haven't been to church in so long because they just don't do enough. Jesus was not like that. If Jesus was here today, they would miss him. Because you're not doing what Jesus would do in 2023. They should have apartment complex. They should have housing communities. They should have, a lot of them are starting to have schools, so that's good. They should have farms. They should have grocery stores. Like, you should have more than the world has, is what I'm trying to say. Because your money is tax-free, and in all those different communities, you could be employing your congregation. But I guess that's too close to Black Wall Street, so I guess they're not going to do it. But yeah, servant leadership to me is the best. It's putting others before yourself. And to me, it's really sowing seeds that will reap the harvest. Like, who made Black Panther? Somebody sold into him. Was it Denzel Washington? Paid for his college full ride. And he ended up doing that. Like, you sow into people, you don't know what they could be. It was a girl, and I'm not good with celebrities. I don't be trying to know their names. They not paying my bills. You know, yeah, I don't really do the whole music and movie stuff. I literally am a learner. Like, I'm always in my head. I could tell you some authors and poets. I'm always reading, almost always learning. So people be like, did you see that movie? Did you see that show? I have to schedule it because I be so on this side. But forgot the girl's name, but when she didn't have any money, the pastor gave her the whole collection that day. And I've only saw one other pastor do that. His name is Stephen Furtick. He had people pay offering, and then he passed it back around and said, pick one envelope. And he said, all I want you to do is share some of that with someone else. That's how it's, to me, that's how it should be every service. So one person may have gave a dollar, that may have go to another person that has 100, and the person that gave 100 may go to the person that had a dollar. And what would they be able to do with that? That could probably help them put gas in their car, pay a bill, and bless someone else. You get what I'm saying? I digress, but because he gave her that whole offering point, she came back. Now she's a celebrity and gave him like so much money. And that's how it is. Like, you pour into those seeds and those souls, you never know what God's going to do, what they will put here. And you probably were put there for that very reason, to sow into them so that they can be what they're supposed to be. Now, let's say you didn't answer your calling and do what you were supposed to do and be in the place you were supposed to be. You wouldn't have been able to pass around that collection because you was playing around. So it's important that we all follow our path, our heart's desire, do what we're supposed to do, because there's people behind us that are relying on us. There's people that haven't even been born yet that are relying on us. And if we drop the ball, not only do we drop our ball, but other balls are being dropped that you don't even know about. Man, this thing is so interconnected. It's insane. The dirt needs the grass, needs the trees, needs the air, needs the water, needs the sun. It's like one cannot exist without the other. As much as we want to, oh, I'm doing it on my own. No. No successful business can say that. Not one. It's always team. There is no I in team. So I close on my house this week. Hopefully if the storm doesn't come. It's supposed to be Thursday. So yay, this is my second house that I've sold. I'm so excited. I'm killing the rentals, which is my second house. And I put together a PowerPoint presentation of everybody that was involved in the transaction. And I cannot wait to show her that video, because I didn't do it alone. It was definitely a team. And I think that's what I love about being a realtor. Although I'm a realtor, there's so many moving parts. I had gave my transaction coordinator, I had sent her a cash out for lunch. I said, thank you so much. There's no way I could do this without you. I had sent my mortgage loan originator a cash out for lunch. Thank you so much. There's no way I could do this without you. That may not be much to them. And with me working on commission, baby, that was a lot for me. But I just wanted them to know that I appreciate them so much. Like, there's no I in team. We did that. We have a seller. We sold her house. You did the loan part. You're doing the paperwork behind the scenes. And, you know, I'm just keeping this thing together. Like, I just love my role as a realtor. Nobody will ever take this away from me. Like, baby, I am here. I am happy. It's only the beginning. Y'all gonna see me in 30 years. Like, yes, I'm on year 30 as a realtor. Da, 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 da. I will say I hate starting new at anything, because you got to learn everything. You got to set that foundation, and then things take off. And I'm just so impatient. I just want to, like, fast forward to where I already know what my higher self is, but that's okay. I'm just learning how to, like, slow down, breathe, take it one step at a time, like, you'll be there. But I'm such a visionary. I can see the future so much. It doesn't match with my reality right now, and it's just, I think that's what makes me impatient and stressed. Like, I see that I'm a luxury realtor. I see that I have apartments and condos and trailers and tiny homes. Like, I see that I'm this big boss, big deal realtor in Jacksonville, but it's, you know, it's only 2023, so I'm not there yet. Or maybe it's another lifetime. Maybe I'm tapping into another world. But the point is, I'm just so excited and thankful that God allowed me to experience it. And because no one put me in a box, I was able to do it. What if someone wanted me to be a nurse or a governor or to go to the military or whatever other path? But this was the path that I wanted, and I got to go down it. And I'm just so excited about that. And I don't think you're able to do that or capitalize that if you're ever boxed in. So, shout out to all the servant leaders. I love you guys. People know who you are, and that's why, you know, they go so hard for y'all. Let's see. Oh, I know what I was supposed to do. Hold on. So I'm sorry. I wanted to give you guys examples of leaders in the real world that have those styles. So I'm just going to backtrack for a moment. So for autocratic, it was Steve Jobs of Apple. For democratic, it was Nelson Mandela, former president of South Africa. For transformal, it was Mahatma Gandhi, the leader of Indian independence movement. For transactional, it was Jack Welch, the former CEO of GE, General Electric. And for servant, Mother Teresa, Missionaries of Charity. So yeah, and I love the work that Mother Teresa did. Okay, so the next one is charismatic leader. And this is a leader who uses their charm and their persuasion to influence and inspire. I feel like I have a very charismatic personality as a Libra. We just have that charm energy. Some positives are they can use their charisma to influence and motivate through their personality. Some negatives are they rely on leader's charm and it may lack substance. So just make sure you aren't superficial. Just always keep it real. Because charisma and charm can turn into manipulation real quick. And you could use manipulation in a good way, but most people use it in a bad way. And I was just talking to my sister the other day about, I gotta do another podcast on words. I feel like words are spirits, are entities, are alive and breathing. Maybe not like in a body, but they like exist. Like smile, for example. When everybody smiles, it's the same. Does that not seem like a spirit possessing that person? Now, the laugh may be different because that depends on the person and their environment, all these other things, and maybe like DNA and, you know, different certain stuff like that for the tone and the pitch and the language and nationality and stuff. But a smile is a smile on, and you can see a dog smile. You can see a cat smile. It's the same no matter what it touches. Sometimes you see trees. Sometimes it's in nature where you like, God, during the tree smile. It'll be like a face in a tree and it's smiling. But the point I'm trying to make is I think words are, I know they say life and death is in the power of the tongue. But I think as humans, we send out words as soldiers or spirits, and we send them on a mission and they do not come back void. So I think you have to be careful. Like if you say something evil to someone and once you say it out of your mouth and it goes into the ethers, it's either going to happen to that person, you just don't know when, or maybe their family, and it's like we really are casting spells all day is what I'm trying to say. And they're either like good or bad or angelic or demonic or positive or negative, whatever you want to give it. But yeah, like charm can be experienced the same no matter what race the person is. That charm is going to come off the same. Like you say, oh my God, he is so charming, it could be anybody. Oh my God, she is so flirty, it could be anybody. So why does it look the same on everybody? Because I think it's a spirit. But that's just me, that's another podcast though. So let's see. An example. Let me give you an example. A good example of a charismatic leader would be Martin Luther King. He was a civil rights activist. And I think that's very, very, very true. So I think charm and charisma can be motivation. And I think that can also, oh, that's what it is. So everything is a polarity. There's two sides to everything. So just like you can have charm, just like you have charisma, just like you can motivate, the dark side of that would be manipulation. You know what I mean? And just manipulating people to do the wrong thing. So I feel like Martin Luther King was very charismatic. He was very motivating and encouraging and influential. And he touched people's heart. He touched their soul. And they followed. You know? So it's something about when you have charm, it's just like people are drawn to you. it's hard to shake them off. You can lead them down a good road or a bad road. It's like, it's, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. So with some of these gifts, we should really, really, really be careful. And I think I go so hard with mine because it's life. Like, I want you to eat better because I want you to live. I want you to think because I want you to live. And it's just all for life. But the next podcast I'm going to do is on the Kabbalion. And I finally got it. Like, knowledge and wisdom is available for everyone. But because we have free will, it will never force itself upon someone. So the moment you say, God, please. Like Solomon. One thing I love about this school, baby, they give me refreshers on all these scriptures. And I got to put them in my papers and stuff. So I just wrote about Solomon in my last class. But he was like, Lord, I'm supposed to lead these people. I need to make my own Bible. It'll be so funny. Like, Lord, you want me to lead these people? I'm going to need you to give me knowledge and wisdom. Like, help a sister out. Because who you want me to do what? My Bible will be so funny. But yeah, he asked out of all the things he could ask for, riches, money, girls, like, you know, whatever. He said, God, give me wisdom. You give me that. All that other stuff gonna come to me. And that has been my prayer, like, my whole life. Like, God, give me knowledge, give me wisdom, give me understanding, you know, because I can take that and I can do anything. I can ask you to keep my body healthy. I can also ask you to give me the knowledge to keep my body healthy. And I could take some stress off of you because you gave me the knowledge. Now all I gotta do is what I know, get these herbs and stuff, and I am gonna be healthy. So I think sometimes we want the cheat code. Lord, heal me. Heal yourself. Go pick up a herbal book. Or if you got the money, go hire you a herbalist and do the work. Like, we're so lazy. It's like us being in the water, like, Lord, save me. Kick your legs and move your arms. Put on a vest. Get a wrap. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can help yourself. You just want somebody to do it for you. And if you're a baby, I get it. But as full-grown adults and stuff, like, come on, like, do the work. So, anyways, that's me. I love charismatic. So, the next one, try to move a little bit faster. Sorry, y'all. So, bureaucratic. So, a bureaucratic leader, they rely on rules, regulations, and hierarchy to lead. I feel like that's how corporate America is. And I didn't like it. I'm gonna tell you why. When COVID happened and they told everybody to get the shots, just go to TikTok right now, go to YouTube, go to all your social of medias and see that they're saying all of that was BS. So while y'all was calling me crazy because you wanted to keep your job, keep your mortgage, whatever, and people are dying left and right, I feel like we should get an apology. The president literally said, you guys are gonna die. What? In the history of, well, no, because the country even started the wrong way. But nobody stood up and said, you know, I get his concern, but that was wrong. He could have said it. Like, no one gave two F's. So as these people die left and right, it's almost want to say who has the last laugh, but it's not funny because people are dying. Because I want to look at documentaries and I want to do research and I want to get herbs. And even my Bible says herbs will be thy medicine. So you listen to man over God. Oh, okay. All the churches. Oh, my God. They fumbled their faith so bad. I don't want to hear nothing from them. One of them. Maybe them churches shut down. Jesus can heal. Jesus can heal. No, he can't heal COVID. Maybe them churches shut down. I know Jesus and God is embarrassed. Like, you're supposed to believe in God and faith so much. But the moment a storm came your way, baby, you were scared. Does not the scripture say God did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind? Oh, okay, baby. So I will always say I'm so glad I grew up in a church. But just because you're in a church, that don't mean you got it together. Those who have ears, let them hear. Those who have eyes, let them see. If you cannot take what you have learned and apply it to your life, don't even have the title. So you read all these scriptures all your life, but the moment these trials come your way, which they will, this is school at the end of the day, we're gonna have trials until the day we die, you're not using those scriptures. So you were supposed to look COVID in the face and say, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. God loves me so much that he's gonna protect me from the COVID. I love myself and my family so much that I'm going to use the power within my mind to study and learn what I need to do to overcome this germ. You know what I mean? You have to live. That's, again, those words. You have to eat, sleep, and breathe them. You have to live them. You have to bring them to life. You have to put them on like clothes. Anybody can say it. I think when it comes to marriage and stuff, people just run around here talking about they love, 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 love. I know so much stuff. If people only knew, they wouldn't even be married no more. It just makes me look at it like, all these secrets and closets and people just being in delusions. Love is scary. It's like on the outside, you can see everything that's wrong. But when you're in it, you can't see it. And you're so judgmental and you want to protect everything that you have, even if it could be wrong. And that is just so sad to me. And sometimes I know the people know they wrong, but they ain't going to say nothing. And I done got to the point, I ain't going to say nothing either. You happy? Fine. Don't bring the drama my way, because I'm done. Like, I've had it. I just can't anymore. Like, no. That's what you chose. Choices come with consequences. Deal with it. It's just, it's insane. I almost feel like people's minds are not where they should be. People are not critically thinking. You know, of course, everybody wants to have a family, get married, and have human beings. But can you really, are you mentally ready to do that? Have you studied yourself enough? You're going to be in charge of a whole human being and you don't even know what to eat. This be my heart's cry. You don't know what to eat. Now you're feeding this man unhealthy stuff and your kids, and they're all going to die. Wanna know why? Because you aren't cooking the right things. It's so much bigger to me. Nothing is small to me. Everything is so, so big. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm feeding you greasy stuff. I'm clogging up your arteries. We're not walking or working out, but I love you. You love them to the grave? You love them to an early grave? That's not love to me. Love should challenge you. All right, babe. What gym we finna sign up for? All right, babe. Let's go walk. All right, babe. Let's get some bikes. All right, babe. We need to be doing this sea moss and these herbs. And all right, babe. You know, let's work on our personalities. And you know what I mean? People just want it the easy way. They don't want nobody to say nothing. Like, you should be mirrors to each other. Like, you know, babe, I love you so much. I'm a reflection of you. So if I see something wrong or, you know, something you can improve on, I just want to bring it to you. And, you know, you deal with it how you deal with it. But I wouldn't be a real wife if I didn't tell. You know what I mean? Won't never see that. Never, 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 never. It's just comfortable, ease, not being alone. But it should be challenging. You should change. And I don't see a lot of changes. It's like you're the same that you were years ago. I mean, there was absolutely no growth. That's not okay. That's not life, and it's not right, because if we follow nature, nature even tells us you're supposed to grow. A baby crawls. A baby stands up. A baby takes steps, a baby walks, a baby runs, skip, flip, do a cartwheel. You know what I mean? Now the Olympic star. But you should be growing too. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Your body should be changing. You're a whole adult now. You can read and study and do, you know, learn all these exercise things. And with the knowledge that you have, you haven't tightened up your body. Like, and I'm back in the gym now too. It's one thing to eat, right? Then you have to exercise, and then you have to get your mind and all this other stuff. So I'm back on it too. Trust me. I'm a mirror talking to myself as well. But it was saying, I love Reza Islam. And I don't put up a box to where I can't learn from other faiths, because they all have positive things and they all have negative things. And if you focus on that, you'll learn a lot more than, I don't want to hear. They Islam and I'm Christian, so I don't want to hear whatever they gotta say. That is so stupid to me. That is so dumb. Like, you're trying to tell me that this is poison. If I eat it, I'm gonna die, but I'm not gonna listen to you because you're not my faith. You have to get knowledge and information from all sources. The enemy can even tell you. It's not who tells you, it's what you hear, what you do with it. But anyways, Reza Islam had put up a post about men. And I told him to do women too. Like, don't just be getting on our men. I'm all for balance. It got to go both ways. He was like, men can't even do push-ups. They can't do sit-ups. They can't do this. They can't do that. And a lot of African men, unfortunately, they're in that boat. Sir, you can't even join the reserves because they won't accept you. Your height, your weight, all of that. You know what I mean? If someone busts in your house right now, are you fit enough to defend your family? Bump that gun because y'all can knock the guns out. What you gonna do then? If they run, can you catch them? If you need to run, are they gonna easily catch you? It's like, oh, I said, oh my gosh, our men, we have fallen so far. Our men are supposed to be our providers and our protectors. Protect equals fit. Not just grabbing a gun. We know your fingers is strong. A lot of men play them video games, so we know your fingers are strong. What about your body? And more so, what about your mind? Do you give yourself challenging situations and try to overcome them? It's a muscle, too. You got to use it. Do you read books? It's like, oh my God. When I look at a lot of women, it's like the woman does everything for the family. And I'm exhausted just looking at it. And it's just so sad because they'll never say it, but help her. That's true love. Help her. Everything that she do, can you be a mirror and vice versa? And that's what I grew up with. I saw my mom out there with my dad changing the oil. On the roof with him, snaking the roof. You know what I mean? I saw him vacuuming and cleaning the bathroom. Like, they mirrored each other. Oh, you're not finna do everything and I'm not finna do everything. We're in this together. And I just don't see enough of that. And I refuse. I refuse to raise you and the kids. You mean to tell me if I'm sick, you can't cook? You can't wash clothes? You can't do anything? That's infancy. It's really sad. It's really, really sad because, to be honest, one of y'all is going to die early. And if it's her, what are you going to do? Hurry up and marry again? And studies do show when the woman dies, the man gets married again. I don't even, like, did you miss her? Are you giving yourself enough time to mourn? But you know you need to eat. You know somebody need to wash them clothes, take care of the kids, and keep the house clean. Like, I'm not going to be nobody's Cinderella. It's a no for me. It really is. It's more about how are we going to make money with each other? How are we going to build for ourselves in this community? How are we going to raise kids for the next generation? Like, it's so much bigger. Hey, baby. It's so much bigger than I'm married. I got his last name. I got a ring. We finna have babies. And that's just why we see people shooting every day. Who raised them? Who raised them? Who did you raise them with? Do you know who you raised? Do you know enough about the person before you decide to have kids with them? Because kids are going to be a reflection of them. It's just a lot. I don't know. Maybe people need to have a class before they even do that. All right, so it looks like it's going to be a part two because I haven't even put a dent in these leadership styles. And I try not to let the podcast go, you know, longer than an hour. Although I love a good podcast that could go that long, but I know people have different attention spans, so I won't do that to you. So I am going to stop here and I'm going to continue with part two. I hope you are enjoying the Leadership Styles podcast and I hope you'll tune in to part two. Talk to you guys later. Bye. Namaste, love a stay, and always vibe high, babe. Thanks a million for listening. I hope you have a better than great day. I love you. Talk to you later.